If we're going to celebrate the birth of Messiah, which we should, I want to do it through a Hebraic lens. Yeshua is the fulfillment of that which the Hebrew prophets spoke of. One of the most important reasons that we should endeavor to understand the Jewish roots of our Christian faith is because it gives it legs, it roots it, and it grounds it. In other words, the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, and the first verse in the book of Matthew grounds Jesus into fulfilling ancient messianic prophecy. Matthew opens his gospel by saying, "This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And so it was that important in the historical writings to ground Yeshua in the writings of the Hebrew prophets. And so today we're going to begin the broadcast by looking at the ancient prophecy contained in the Hebrew prophet Micah. Micah says this, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." So we have contained here the gem of revelation that teaches that Messiah will be literally God, that Messiah will be from eternity. Now, this may not really strike you as that poignant in this instant, but I want to give you a little history. During the time of Yeshua and today especially, Jewish people are not expecting that the Messiah will be God. In fact, Jewish people teach that there's a potential Messiah in every generation. This is just rabbinic thought. This is the way Jewish people think today. That in every generation, there is living a potential Messiah, and he'll be revealed if that generation of Jewish people is righteous enough. So the contemporary mindset today of rabbinic Judaism is not that the Messiah is from eternity. It's not that the Messiah is actually going to be God clothed in humanity. It's that the Messiah is just a man. Furthermore, today's rabbinic Judaism does not believe that Messiah will atone for the sins of the world by shedding perfectly innocent blood. Rather, they believe that Messiah will lead Jewish people back to Torah observance, which will in turn bring peace on earth for all humanity. It is interesting, however, that within rabbinic Judaism, they see in Scripture two portrayals of who the Messiah will be. On the one hand, they see a potential Messiah ben David, because we have prophetic writings in the Scriptures that the Messiah will come as a ruler and as a king. So this Messiah looks like Messiah ben David, Messiah the son of David. But then we have another potential picture of the Messiah, Messiah son of Joseph, contained in writings like Isaiah 53, where Messiah comes as a suffering servant. And so what rabbinic Judaism teaches is that it depends on the generation in which the Messiah is living. If the generation in which Messiah is living is a really righteous generation, then Messiah will be revealed as Messiah ben David, as a king. But if Messiah is revealed during a time where Israel is not righteous, then he'll come as a suffering Messiah, Messiah son of Joseph, Messiah ben Yosef. And so the point is that as we understand the birth of Messiah, we don't want to just do it through a cultural Christianized lens that began with the Roman church. We want to understand Messiah from his original concept. He came as a Jew. Remember, Yeshua said in the Gospel of John chapter 4, salvation is from the Jews. And at the end of the book of Revelation, Yeshua says, "I'm the offspring of David." So I'm helping you to understand what the church calls Christmas which really did not happen on December 25th, because all historians know that that was not the date of his birth. In fact, most theologians think it was more likely that he was birthed during the Feast of Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles, although nobody knows for sure. But if we're going to celebrate the birth of Messiah, which we should, right? Because the wise men gave us an example. They celebrated the birth of Messiah. So I think it's a fantastic thing to celebrate the birth of Messiah, but I want to do it through a Hebraic lens. I want to do it in such a way that I'm celebrating that God is faithful, that He sent us a Messiah who's actually God in the flesh, according to Micah 5:2, and that He came in the way that the Lord prescribed in the Hebrew prophecies, that He'd be born in, beloved, this city behind me called Bethlehem. Let's turn our attention now for a moment and think about what is the reason that the Lord sent the Messiah, and when did this plan of God begin? You see, beloved, the Lord sent Messiah because He ordained it. Now listen, even before the creation of the world. The Bible says that in the mind of God, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So in eternity, God had a plan for humanity. So I want us to consider this for a second as we're celebrating the birth of Mashiach, as we're celebrating the birth of the Christ, the Anointed One, of Yeshua, of Jesus. Why did God send Him? Yes, God sent Him because He loved us, right? John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But I want you to understand that there's even a greater plan of God in the sending forth of Messiah than forgiveness. God's eternal plan, it starts with forgiveness, because we can't have a relationship with God until we are forgiven. And that's why His name is Yeshua. That's why the angel said to Mary, "You shall," and Joseph, "you shall call His name Yeshua," right? That's what the angel said. The angel said, "You shall call His name Yeshua, for He shall save His people from their sins." And did you know that the name Yeshua, which is Yeshua's real name, Jesus is the English version of it, but the Hebrew that the angel spoke is Yeshua. What that means is God saves. Yah, for God, that's an abbreviated form of God's covenant name, Yahweh, from the four Hebrew letters Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yah. The psalmist said, "I will praise Yah." Yah, God, and Shua, saves. So you shall call His name Yeshua, meaning God saves, because He shall save His people from their sins. And the angel also revealed, we find in Matthew chapter 1, in the first chapter of Matthew, we read that we should call His name, we should also refer to Him as Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And so we call Him Yeshua, He saves, because He saves us from our sins, and Emmanuel, Matthew chapter 1, because now through Yeshua and His atonement, God has made a way for Him, beloved ones, to be with us. And so I want you to think about this as we're gathered together now in the Spirit through this broadcast, as our hearts are being lifted to the Lord through the Word right now. God is here. And this that I'm proclaiming, it goes beyond simply a message. It goes beyond just our cognitive understanding. God is here. That's what the celebration of the birth of Christ is about. Emmanuel has come. God is here. He's with you wherever you're at right now. Whether you're in your car listening by radio, whether you're in your living room watching on television, whether you're watching on your smartphone or your technological, whatever you're using right now, He's here. He's with you as you lay in your bed at night. He knows everything about us. He feels for you and I. You see, when God clothed himself in humanity through the birth of Yeshua, what he did, beloved one, is he made himself one with you and I so that he feels our infirmity. He feels our disease, and he feels when we're happy, and he delights in us, and a banner over us is love. God is literally joined, get this now. He is now, through his Son, through Emmanuel, he's joined to you and I, so that he's holding your hand. So whatever you feel, he feels. Whatever you think touches him. There's no distance right now between you and God, because Yeshua is standing in the gap. He's fully man and he's fully God. And as the one that's fully man and fully God, that's what the incarnation is about. When Yeshua was born in Bethlehem approximately 2,000 years ago, what he did is he bridged the gap, fully God and fully man, so he fused man and God together so that now God is one with you. He's walking with you, and he wants us right now to open up our hearts to believe this. If only we could fully open up to the reality of how close to us Hashem, God, is, how he wants us to know that he's one with us. So, Father, I'm praying right now for all of us, myself included, that you would continue to open our hearts, that you would continue to expand our ability to open up, to understand and to feel how much you love us, that you're closer to us than our own breath. Father, that you feel everything that we feel, that you're touched by every one of our pains, that every thought that we think you're one with in the sense that you experience with it. Father God, open us up to recognize how safe and loved and embraced we are in you today. Think about this. Whatever you think, God's there. He's standing at the door of our heart, desiring that you and I would grow in our trust and in our confidence in his love so that we could expand in his love and more let him into the deepest corridors of our heart. He wants to share life with us. But it's up to us to open up by faith and allow him to do that. That's why Yeshua said, I'm standing at the door of your heart and knocking. If you'll open up, we're going to sup together. We're going to experience life together. And so, beloved, as we celebrate this special season of the birth of Messiah, I hope that I've somehow brought to you an exclamation mark of how close God is to us. He wants to take our breath away as we realize the immediacy of his love. And as we move forward, he wants you and I to open up to take his hand so that as we walk forward in this life's journey, we partner with him in a deeper and deeper way. On behalf of Yeshua Messiah today, I say to you, God loves you. And as you look to him, beloved, know that he will be with you even until your last breath on the planet.